part three of the Buzz Bubble interview with Andy Azzula. Now back to our host, Kevin Kelly. On the Buzz Bubble.
So are you tired yet of being that guy? And hey, there's a guy from
you know, it's interesting.
A little celebrity.
It's funny because I do get recognized now everywhere. So, you know, kudos to the media department, the buy-in, which is it's phenomenal because it's all, you know, it was all sports and news, right? So airports, you know, anywhere near college, you know, campuses, Vegas, you know, it just like really, really was out there. So it is a little weird that you get recognized everywhere you walk, but everyone seems so nice and appreciative, and you know, they're excited, and how can you not be excited when someone's excited to see you?
Oh, yeah.
It's actually a good thing.
Well, that's good.
No one's come up to me and said, I hate your ideas and campaign, bam, bam. Although I keep waiting for that. It hasn't happened yet.
Brown markers are ecologically damaging. What are you doing? Let's segue over into Pizza Hut because, you know, I know you're motivated by your love for pizza, you know, getting on the Pizza Hut campaign, kind of like you go after the agency. You went after the food for that one.
Yeah, that's true.
So that's a relatively new account for you guys. And tell me about, you know, some of the things that have gotten you jazzed about working on this account and some of the new and different things that you guys are doing.
It's a fascinating industry, you know, this whole quick service restaurant and the pizza business is just, it's a whole other world. So right. I love that. It's complicated.
Yeah.
It's hard. It's fast moving. It's day after. It's high pressure. It's driven by so many things, from the price of milk to storage of pepperoni to all these factors. It's driven, you know, there's this great checks and balances between franchisees and corporate and the way they work together. That sits underneath the fact that it's part of the Yum Brands. So there's a whole Yum Brand tenet of advertising and marketing that they tend to follow. And,
okay.
It's a huge puzzle. It's this massive puzzle. So that's exciting. It's exciting to say, okay, how can we take all these components, increase their sales and do really great work in a category that's not necessarily known for doing great work since Little Caesars.
Right.
You know? And then you look at Little Caesars, and, you know, back in the day when Cliff Ringo was just doing that brilliant work, and then they show us, well, you know, the sales weren't exactly matching the can lions and one show pencils. You know, they weren't exactly lined up that way. So the pressure is on to say, no, everything is so accountable.
I was going to ask, how quickly do you get data back after?
Oh, very quickly, And they have the models built in to tell us pretty instantly whether something's working or not. So,
right.
So we started the work. We've done quite a few commercials, and they've really had a great turnaround. They've adjusted their pricing. And people are loving that. And I think people inherently love the brand. I think everyone roots for Pizza Hut.
Right.
And now that they got really great pricing, and we're trying to put forth a really good brand face for them and put out the message, the retail message.
Right.
I think those are starting to fire on cylinders there, and it's picking up. So it's exciting.
That's great.
It's not easy, but man, it's exciting because what we're looking at is, okay, 2 years down the road, we're 1 year down the road. What else can we do? How can we start to really leverage where we're at now and increase building their sales, but their brand too? And how can we start to really get to our goal of doing some pretty, you know, terrific creative work?
Right. You mentioned the media guys in the context of getting the UPS spots out there.
Yeah.
Pizza Hut had a Super Bowl, some Super Bowl time?
Yeah, it's interesting because there's two ways to look at the Super Bowl. I mean, you can either buy in the Super Bowl with your branding, but they did it the other way. They said, well, we're going to buy 8 spots in front of the Super Bowl and just go after sales, which they did.
Right.
So they bought the pregame. We got 8 slots in there,
right.
And we just ran this, you know, the big pizza deal out, and they did.
That's great,
fantastic.
I didn't realize that it was before the game, and that was the approach.
The approach was, this is about sales. This isn't the time to put out our big epic brand. You know, we're the new Pizza Hut.
Right.
It's about, you're about to watch a 3-hour game.
Yeah, aren't you hungry?
Here's a great deal. And here's 8 times before that. And then they also did a really good job of integrating it into the actual live programming where the color commentators were there, and they actually were eating Pizza Hut and talking about it before the game. So it was
great.
Good way.
I love product integration, especially with the age of DVRs, although people aren't fast-forwarding the Super Bowl or DVRing it. But great product integration, I think, is just a wonderful way to get your message out. For instance, somebody came up with the idea, we're not going to buy in the Super Bowl, we're going to buy before. how integrated is creative and planning, and you know, where do the planners come in the process, and you know, how closely do you work with them?
I think we have them here. I think it starts there. I mean, we literally start with that, and
right.
We work as closely as we can with our planners from day one. And it's a give and take process, and there's friction and all that, and it's great.
Yeah, right.
Because together we find the insight. And I remember the days where the planners would come in with this brilliant, you know, 30,000 foot strategy that sounds fantastic that I could never execute toward.
Right.
You know? And then the clients would hate you. They love your strategy, and then you'd never be able to fulfill it because it was just too pie in the sky and just too cerebral. And I think working closely together, it's so great because we get grounded with some insights that we can actually build off of and that people can, you know, resonate to, and you can actually do good work too. So
right.
We work really, really closely from day one with our planners.
So they don't get down to that great idea, then show it to you and go, wait, we can't execute.
You know, sometimes that still happens, but at least we'll say, well, before we sell this, let us take a crack at it. Give us
right.
a week, and if we start to hit, then we know maybe something's in there. But if after a week we're like, you guys, there's nothing here, and it sounds great, then you know, we'll respectfully withdraw that strategy and start again.
So some of the research I uncovered about the creatives is that, you know, you guys don't always have strict creative teams in brands and groups. You kind of like, as the quote said, parachute them in as needed, I guess, based on disciplines, talents, you know, what's that about? It's different than a lot of the other agencies that I've interviewed.
It is. It works really well. There'll always be core teams somewhere because some of the clients, they're too complex not to warrant having people who have the in-depth knowledge. But there's a lot that you don't need that much knowledge to get up and running and do good work for.
Yeah.
So we take advantage of that, yeah, and it keeps people excited and fresh
right.
just to move them around and change not only accounts but partners too, so that you're not, you know, there are some people who tend to glue themselves together as teams, but for a lot of times we're switching them around, like I said, not just the accounts different, but even the team themselves is the first time working together, and that seems to work. And then we're pretty flat. We have a lot of creative directors here, but we all tend to like assume different hats when needed. So, you know, you talk about parachuting, and I parachuted in as an art director before to cover shoots, where I'll jump in as a creative director over a small project over that's a subset of a bigger project, or, well, you know, vice versa. I'll be working on a big project and I'll pull in some creative directors to work as writers or art directors. So we all like to do that quite a bit, and it keeps us scared and stressed out to really appreciate how much all the writers and art directors are really doing.
With regards to putting together teams, where do the interactive folks, the digital folks, the tech folks, where do they fit in? You know, is that, you guys have a certain model for that, or again, it's, you know, hey, I got this idea, hey, get Jimmy down here, you know, he's the guy that knows.
You know, that's just, you know, that you're, you know, now you're getting into the whole, like, you know, new world order of what
yeah.
the new team is going to be.
Right.
And it's very really much organic right now, because I think the new team is still in school.
Mm.
You know, we're just getting through it right now.
Right.
And we're just starting to see the new...
What's possible.
The new possibilities, absolutely. With you know, if you train a designer into how to build things digitally, you're going to come up with some pretty amazing things. And if you put that person in with a writer who's trained to really think conceptually, you start to blend it together, you're going to have a really much stronger team than the traditional, here's your writer, art director, now we're going to pull in the media guy, now we're going to pull in the IT guy.
So what's next?
And then the digital guy and the online guy, and we're going to like take our idea and let each one of them interpret it. So it's definitely, we're in that phase, you know, we're watching it happen. It's fantastic. It's frustrating. You know, it's the area where you have to start raise your hand and farm it out sometimes.
Right.
Or you pull in the right people, you freelance it, but we're all, you know, I think the landscape of the creative team is going to be remarkably different, say, in 4 or 5 years, when you have, you know, a new set of newly skilled people in the workforce that are intelligent, that are just creative,
right.
that have exposure globally to all the work that's happening. I think it's fantastic.
That's it for part 3 of the Buzz Bubble interview with Andy Azula. Tune in next week for part 4. On the Buzz Bubble.